Chapter 5. A Crime is Discussed.
It was only viewing, you see, said Gladia contritely. She was wrapped in something that left her arms and shoulders free. One leg showed to mid-thigh. But Bailey, entirely recovered and feeling an utter fool, ignored it stoically. He said,
It was the surprise, Mrs. Delmar.
Oh, please, you can call me Gladia, unless that's against your customs.
Gladia, then. It's all right. I just want to assure you there was nothing repulsive about it, you understand, just the surprise. Bad enough for him to have acted the fool, he thought, without having the poor girl think he found her unpleasant. As a matter of fact, it had been rather... Well, he didn't have the phrase, but he knew quite certainly that there was no way he would ever be able to talk of this to Jessie.
I know I offended you, Gladia said, but I didn't mean to. I just wasn't thinking. Of course, I realize one must be careful about the customs of other planets, but the customs are so queer sometimes. At least, not queer, she hastened to add. I don't mean queer. I mean strange, you know, and it's so easy to forget, as I forgot about keeping the windows darkened.
Quite all right, muttered Bailey. She was in another room now, with all the windows draped, and the light had the subtly different and more comfortable texture of artificiality.
But about the other thing, she went on earnestly, it's just viewing, you see. After all, you didn't mind talking to me when I was in the dryer, and I wasn't wearing anything then either.
Well, said Bailey, wishing she would run down as far as that subject was concerned, hearing you is one thing, and seeing you is another.
But that's exactly it. Seeing isn't involved.
She reddened a trifle and looked down.
I hope you don't think I'd ever do anything like that. I mean, just step out of the dryer if anyone were seeing me. It was just viewing.
The same thing, isn't it? Said Bailey.
Not at all the same thing. You're viewing me right now. You can't touch me, can you? Or smell me, or anything like that. You could if you were seeing me. Right now, I'm 200 miles away from you, at least. So how can it be the same thing?
Bailey grew interested. But I see you with my eyes.
No, you don't see me. You see my image. You're viewing me.
And that makes a difference?
All the difference there is.
I see. In a way, he did. The distinction was not one he could make easily, but it had a kind of logic to it. She said, bending her head a little to one side,
Do you really see?
Yes.
Does that mean you wouldn't mind if I took off my wrapper?
She was smiling. He thought, She's teasing, and I ought to take her up on it. But aloud he said, No, it would take my mind off my job. We'll discuss it another time.
Do you mind my being in the wrapper rather than something more formal? Seriously.
I don't mind.
May I call you by your first name?
If you have the occasion.
What is your first name?
Elijah.
All right.
She snuggled into a chair that looked hard and almost ceramic in texture, but it slowly gave as she sat until it embraced her gently. Bailey said, To business now. She said,
To business.
Bailey found it all extraordinarily difficult. There was no way even to make a beginning. On Earth, he would ask name, rating, city, and sector of dwelling, a million different routine questions. He might even know the answers to begin with, yet it would be a device to ease into the serious phase. It would serve to introduce him to the person, make his judgment of the tactics, to pursue something other than a mere guess. But here? How could he be certain of anything? The very verb to see meant different things to himself and to the woman. How many other words would be different? How often would they be at cross purposes without his being aware of it? He said, How long were you married, Gladia?
10 years, Elijah.
How old are you?
33.
Bailey felt obscurely pleased. She might easily have been 133. He said, Were you happily married? Gladia looked uneasy.
How do you mean that?
Well? For a moment, Bailey was at a loss. How do you define a happy marriage? For that matter, what would a Salarian consider a happy marriage? He said, Well, you saw one another often?
What? I should hope not. We're not animals, you know.
Bailey winced.
You did live in the same mansion. I thought,
Of course we did. We were married. But I had my quarters and he had his. He had a very important career which took much of his time and I had my own work. We viewed each other whenever necessary.
He saw you, didn't he?
It's not a thing one talks about, but he did see me.
Do you have any children?
Gladia jumped to her feet in obvious agitation.
That's too much! Of all the indecent—
No, wait, wait!
Bailey brought his fist down on the arm of his chair.
Don't be difficult. This is a murder investigation. Do you understand? Murder. And it was your husband who was murdered. Do you want to see the murderer found and punished, or don't you?
Then ask about the murder, not about... about...
I have to ask all sorts of things. For one thing, I want to know whether you're sorry your husband is dead.
He added with calculated brutality,
You don't seem to be.
She stared at him haughtily.
I'm sorry when anyone dies, especially when he's young and useful.
Doesn't the fact that he was your husband make it just a little more than that?
He was assigned to me, and, well, we did see each other when scheduled, and...
She hurried the next words.
And if you must know, we don't have children because none have been assigned us yet. I don't see what all that has to do with being sorry over someone being dead.
Maybe it had nothing to do with it, Bailey thought. It depended on the social facts of life, and with those he was not acquainted. He changed the subject.
I'm told you have personal knowledge of the circumstances of the murder.
For a moment, she seemed to grow taut.
I discovered the body. Is that the way I should say it?
And then you didn't witness the actual murder?
Oh, no,
she said faintly.
Well, suppose you tell me what happened. Take your time and use your own words.
He sat back and composed himself to listen. She began,
It was on 3-2 of the 5th.
When was that in standard time? Asked Bailey quickly.
I'm not sure. I really don't know. You can check, I suppose.
Her voice seemed shaky and her eyes had grown large. They were a little too gray to be called blue, he noted. She said,
He came to my quarters. It was our assigned day for seeing, and I knew he'd come.
He always came on the assigned day?
Oh, yes. He was a very conscientious man, a good Salarian. He never skipped an assigned day and always came at the same time. Of course, he didn't stay long. We have not been assigned ch—
She couldn't finish the word, but Bailey nodded.
Anyway, she said, he always came at the same time, you know, so that everything would be comfortable. We spoke a few minutes. Seeing is an ordeal, but he always spoke quite normally to me. It was his way. Then he left to attend to some project he was involved with. I'm not sure what. He had a special laboratory in my quarters, to which he could retire on seeing days. He had a much bigger one in his quarters, of course.
Bailey wondered what he did in those laboratories. Fetology, perhaps, whatever that was. He said,
Did he seem unnatural in any way? Worried?
No, no, he was never worried.
She came to the edge of a small laugh and buried it at the last moment.
He always had perfect control, like your friend there.
For a brief moment, her small hand reached out and indicated Daniil, who did not stir.
I see. Well, go on.
Gladia didn't. Instead, she whispered,
Do you mind if I have myself a drink?
Please do.
Gladia's hand slipped along the arm of her chair momentarily. In less than a minute, a robot moved in silently and a warm drink, Bailey could see the steam, was in her hand. She sipped slowly, then set the drink down. She said,
That's better. May I ask a personal question?
Bailey said,
You may always ask.
Well, I've read a lot about Earth. I've always been interested, you know. It's such a queer world.
She gasped and added immediately,
I didn't mean that.
Bailey frowned a little. Any world is queer to people who don't live on it.
I mean, it's different, you know. Anyway, I want to ask a rude question. At least I hope it doesn't seem rude to an Earthman. I wouldn't ask it of a Salarian, of course, not for anything.
Ask what, Gladia?
About you and your friend, Mr. Olova, is it?
Yes.
You two aren't viewing, are you?
Well, how do you mean?
I mean, each other. You're seeing. You're there, both of you.
Bailey said, we're physically together, yes.
You could touch him if you wanted to.
That's right. She looked from one to the other and said,
oh.
It might have meant anything. Disgust? Revulsion? Bailey toyed with the idea of standing up, walking to Daniil and placing his hand flat on Daniil's face. It might be interesting to watch her reaction. He said, you were about to go on with the events of that day when your husband came to see you. He was morally certain that her digression, however interesting it might have been intrinsically to her, was primarily motivated by a desire to avoid just that. She returned to her drink for a moment. Then,
there isn't much to tell. I saw he would be engaged, and I knew he would be anyway, because he was always at some sort of constructive work. So I went back to my own work. Then, perhaps 15 minutes later, I heard a shout.
There was a pause, and Bailey prodded her.
What kind of a shout?
She said,
Rykane's, my husband's. Just a shout, no words, a kind of fright. No, surprise, shock. Something like that. I'd never heard him shout before.
She lifted her hands to her ears as though to shut out even the memory of the sound, and her wrapper slipped slowly down to her waist. She took no notice, and Bailey stared firmly at his notebook. He said,
what did you do?
I ran. I didn't know where he was.
I thought you said he had gone to the laboratory he maintained in your quarters.
He did, Elijah. But I didn't know where that was. Not for sure, anyway. I never went there. It was his. I had a general idea of its direction. I knew it was somewhere in the west, but I was so upset. I didn't even think to summon any robot. One of them would have guided me easily, but of course none came without being summoned. When I did get there, I found it somehow. He was dead.
She stopped suddenly, and to Bailey's acute discomfort, she bent her head and wept. She made no attempt to obscure her face. Her eyes simply closed, and tears slowly trickled down her cheeks. It was quite soundless. Her shoulders barely trembled. Then her eyes opened and looked at him through swimming tears.
I never saw a dead man before. He was all bloody, and his head was just all... I managed to get a robot, and he called others, and I suppose they took care of me and of Rykane. I don't remember. I don't...
Bailey said, what do you mean they took care of Rykane?
They took him away and cleaned up.
There was a small wedge of indignation in her voice. The lady of the house, careful of its condition.
Things were a mess.
And what happened to the body?
She shook her head.
I don't know. Burned, I suppose, like any dead body.
You didn't call the police?
She looked at him blankly, and Bailey thought, no police. He said,
you told somebody, I suppose. People found out about the matter.
She said,
the robots called a doctor, and I had to call Rykane's place of work. The robots there had to know he wouldn't be back.
The doctor was for you, I suppose.
She nodded.
For the first time, she seemed to notice her wrapper draped about her hips. She pulled it up into position, murmuring forlornly,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Bailey felt uncomfortable watching her as she sat there helpless, shivering, her face contorted with the absolute terror that had come over her with the memory. She had never seen a dead body before. She had never seen blood and a crushed skull. And if the husband-wife relationship on Solaria was something thin and shallow, it was still a dead human being with whom she had been confronted. Bailey scarcely knew what to say or do next. He had the impulse to apologize, and yet, as a policeman, he was doing only his duty. But there were no police on this world. Would she understand that this was his duty? Slowly and as gently as he could, he said, "Gladia, did you hear anything at all, anything besides your husband's shout?" She looked up, her face as pretty as ever, despite its obvious distress, perhaps because of it. She said,
"Nothing."
"No running footsteps, no other voice?" She shook her head.
"I didn't hear anything."
"When you found your husband, he was completely alone? You two were the only ones present?"
"Yes."
"No signs of anyone else having been there?"
"None that I could see. I don't see how anyone could have been there anyway."
"Why do you say that?" For a moment, she looked shocked. Then she said dispiritedly,
"You're from Earth, I keep forgetting. Well, it's just that nobody could have been there. My husband never saw anybody except me, not since he was a boy. He certainly wasn't the sort to see anybody. Not Rykane. He was very strict, very custom-abiding."
"It might not have been his choice. What if someone had just come to see him without an invitation, without your husband knowing anything about it? He couldn't have helped seeing the intruder, regardless of how custom-abiding he was." She said,
"Maybe, but he would have called robots at once and had the man taken away. He would have. Besides, no one would try to see my husband without being invited to. I couldn't conceive of such a thing. And Rykane certainly would never invite anyone to see him. It's ridiculous to think so."
Bailey said softly, "Your husband was killed by being struck on the head, wasn't he? You'll admit that."
"I suppose so. He was all..."
"I'm not asking for the details at the moment. Was there any sign of some mechanical contrivance in the room that would have enabled someone to crush his skull by remote control?"
"Of course not. At least I didn't see any."
"If anything like that had been there, I imagine you would have seen it. It follows then that a hand held something capable of crushing a man's skull, and that hand swung it. Some person had to be within 4 feet of your husband to do that. So someone did see him."
"No one would," she said earnestly. "A Solarian just wouldn't see anyone."
"A Solarian who would commit murder wouldn't stick at a bit of seeing, would he?" To himself, that statement sounded dubious. On Earth, he had known the case of a perfectly conscienceless murderer who had been caught only because he could not bring himself to violate the custom of absolute silence in the community bathroom. Gladia shook her head.
"You don't understand about seeing. Earthmen just see anybody they want to all the time, so you don't understand it."
Curiosity seemed to be struggling within her. Her eyes lightened a bit.
"Seeing does seem perfectly normal to you, doesn't it?"
"I've always taken it for granted," said Bailey.
"It doesn't trouble you?"
"Why should it?"
"Well, the films don't say, and I've always wanted to know. Is it all right if I ask a question?"
"Go ahead," said Bailey stolidly.
"Do you have a wife assigned to you?"
"I'm married. I don't know about the assignment part."
"And I know you see your wife anytime you want to, and she sees you, and neither of you thinks anything of it."
Bailey nodded.
"Well, when you see her, suppose you just want to..."
She lifted her hands, elbow high, pausing as though searching for the proper phrase. She tried again.
"Can you just... anytime..."
She let it dangle. Bailey didn't try to help. She said,
"Well, never mind. I don't know why I should bother you with that sort of thing now anyway. Are you through with me?"
She looked as though she might cry again. Bailey said, "One more try, Gladia. Forget that no one would see your husband. Suppose someone did. Who might it have been?"
It's just useless to guess. It couldn't be anyone.
It has to be someone. Agent Gruer says there is reason to suspect some one person. So you see, there must be someone. A small, joyless smile flickered over the girl's face.
I know who he thinks did it.
All right, who? She put a small hand on her breast.
I...